So we've looked at the Lord's Prayer so far. We've looked at that phrase, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We look at God's person. Who, where, and how do we approach God? Who is He? He is Father. The beginning and end of all prayer is an understanding of the Father heart of God. Having a right understanding of God as Father is key to an effective prayer life. So He is Father. Where? Where is He? He's closer than you think. He is with us. He is all around us. He is in us. And He is for us. He is like the air around us. All we need to do is to be aware of Him and His presence. Open our hearts and breathe. How do you approach this Father who is so close to us? He says, hallowed be thy name. Keep His name holy. Don't trivialize His name. Don't make ordinary. Don't make familiar this Father in heaven. Don't bring Him down to our level of our understanding of fatherhood. Because He is the Father of lights. There is no shadow of turning in Him. He is only good. He is always good. He is good all the time. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God's person. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's God's prerogative. It's His kingdom, not my kingdom. It's His will, not my will. It's heaven come down and not earth that I focus on. And when we pray that prayer, we know that that prayer precedes three other petitions of provision, of pardon, of protection. Because His kingdom comes, because His will is done, because it's heaven that comes down on earth and our prayer is that, then we experience His provision, then we experience His pardon, then we experience His protection. Not only that it precedes these three other petitions, it promotes righteousness, peace and joy, and it produces the attitude of gratitude. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so the prayer we noticed is actually God not giving us a mantra that we can say every day and as if because we are saying it, something magical is going to happen. But He's teaching us how to pray. He's teaching us that this is the mindset that you need to have. As God our Father, His kingdom, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The third thing, the third phrase that comes out is, give us this day our daily bread. So first we talked about God's person, then we talked about God's prerogative, now we're talking about God's provision. So when we pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, what are we saying? Do you think that God is forgetful? That we got to remind Him? Maybe He will forget to give us our daily bread? Now, as I grow older, I realize I am getting forgetful. I haven't reached that age where I can use it as an excuse yet. But I'm looking forward to using it as an excuse. But we get forgetful. And do you think that Jesus was telling, just remind God to give you your daily bread? Is that what the prayer is about? Not so. I don't think it is to remind God to provide for me. It's to remind myself to depend on God for provision. When I pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, I'm reminding me where my daily bread comes from. I'm reminding myself where God's provision comes from. Because He and He alone will provide for me on a daily basis. When we wholly trust the Heavenly Father for all our needs, when we enter into this life of His kingdom come and His will be done in our lives, then we remind ourselves what that means. That means every day I can trust Him and depend on Him to provide for all my needs. If you look at Matthew chapter 6 verse 11, give us this day our daily bread, the Greek structure, if it was literally translated, it will sound like this. Our bread, the daily, give to us today. Our bread, the daily, give to us today. So, that concept, the daily, that's the Greek word, epiosios. What type of bread? The epiosios bread. What does epiosios mean? It can be translated tomorrow. So it can mean, give us today, tomorrow's bread. Or it can also be translated as every day. So give us today the everyday bread. And that's why it's translated, give us this day the daily bread. It's not a bread that God cooks up every day. It's already there for you. It's already presented for you. It's ready for you. It's an everyday bread. It's always going to be there. When you wake up in the morning, it's there ready for you. It's the everyday bread. It is there for you today. It's there for you tomorrow. It's there for you in the future. You say to yourself, my daily bread, I'm not begging and pleading God for it. It's ready for me. When I wake up in the morning, I will have God's provision and sustenance for today. That's the guarantee of this phrase, give us today that everyday bread. What was the thinking behind that? Well, first of all, let's look at Matthew 6, 31 to 34. Today we might look at some scriptures, and I hope you don't mind. And I'll try and read it with Queen's English. Matthew 6, 31 to 34. Don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. So I'm not reminding Him about my needs. He already knows my needs. Verse 33, but seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live in this righteous relationship and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So what Jesus was teaching them was this, within this context of give us today our everyday bread. You have enough for today to sustain you for today. Whatever your lack is, whatever your challenges are, whatever your struggles are, don't import tomorrow's problems. Don't import next week's problems. Don't pull out next year's problems. Don't pull out, what if 10 years time, what am I going to do? Don't pull that up. You won't have sufficiency. You won't have enough bread for that. But it's guaranteed you'll have enough bread for today. He'll sustain you in whatever situation you're in for today. It is your daily bread for today. It's that tomorrow's bread for today. That's why the psalmist had that mindset in his mind when he proclaimed in Psalm 23, the great psalmist David, the Lord is my shepherd. Help me out here. I shall not want. Another translation says, I shall lack nothing. NLT says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He was talking about today. He woke up in the morning and he declared this, I have all I need. How come you have all your need? Because you're the King of Israel? No, my friend, that's not why I have all my need. I have all my need because the Lord is my shepherd. I have all my needs. The whole mindset of give us this day our daily bread is about who are you trusting for today? Who do you lean on for today? Who are you relying on today? The prayer is an invitation every day for the believer to say this, all that I need today to sustain my life for today will be provided for me today. That lack, Lord, that I have, I wake up in the morning and I say, even though I woke up with that pain still in my body, but for today, You'll give me the grace. Maybe I won't have that healing today. If it happens today, praise the Lord. If not, You will sustain me today. Maybe my healing is in tomorrow's bread. But if it doesn't come tomorrow, You'll sustain me today. Maybe my healing will come the day after tomorrow's bread. But somewhere in that bread, You have prepared for my healing. And so every day I wake up and I'll say, Lord, I receive the bread for today, because the bread for today is sufficient for me for today. And when I wake up tomorrow, I will deal with tomorrow as a today bread. Does this make sense? Give us this day our daily bread. Basically, when we pray that prayer, we are believing, God, I wake up today, I say like the psalmist, I have all that I need, but you know what I don't have. I have all I need, but you know where my lack is. And so when I say this, Lord, I am praying, God, top it up. Top up my lack, and I know you will, because you have given me everyday bread for today. Let me say this before I move into the next point I want to make. This is how I live my life, and I'm inviting you to think about this and consider this. There are areas in my life that I lack. There are areas that I have in prayer. The prayer list that I have that I'm praying for myself, for others. Some of you are in my prayer list as I pray for your lack. And as I pray for that, I know that somewhere in the one day, in that everyday bread, there is bread that's going to bring healing for you. And that today will come. And when that today comes, I will rejoice with you when you today wake up and that today's bread is the full healing that you have received. But until that today comes, I know that you and I, when we wake up, we will keep praying for your need, knowing that today, even though it is not the fullness of your healing that you're receiving, you will receive enough bread to sustain you for today. Three things that will accomplish this sort of prayer. Three things that will bring about a shift in our lives when we think this way in our prayer. First thing is, it's a prayer to train us to trust in God. That's what it does. It trains us to totally rely on God. Let me read to you Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. That's Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. Be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. That's a promise. It's right there. That's their everyday bread. That one day they'll walk into the land that God swore to the ancestors. That everyday bread was given right from the promise to Abraham. They were carrying that everyday bread. They hadn't entered into that promise yet, but it was there. And God sustained them on a daily basis until they got to their everyday bread that was promised to them. I hope it's making sense. But this is what he says. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character, to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes. He humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out. That's the bread for that day. Your feet didn't swell. That's the bread for that day. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. Now, when we read this, we look at the word discipline, and sometimes you might think about it as God looked at the hunger, looked at the harsh wilderness, and thought, I'll use that as a stick to beat submission. These kids are so bad. I'm going to use it as a stick. I will beat them and beat out the evil in them. But that would be inconsistent to the Lord's Prayer. Because remember who He is. He is our Father. He is a Father of lights. There is no shadow of turning in Him. Not an ounce of evil in God. Not an ounce of darkness in God. He is all pure. He is all holy. He is all light. He is all good. And so what is this that he's saying, that he wanted to discipline them and train them in? That you might know that everyone You don't live by bread alone, but you live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What was God training them? You don't live by your resources. That's not what guarantees you life. You don't live by the strength of your hands. That's not what guarantees you life. Because your resources might dry up. Your strength may fail you. You don't live by what you have. You don't live by what you can do. Man shall not live by bread alone. How do you live, Lord, then? You live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Because when God speaks it, it will be so. And so God was training a people to trust Him. Trust His word. And so you wake up in the morning and you do not look for your own strength. You do not look for your own resources. You look to the Lord and you say, give us that everyday bread that you promised me, Lord, and sustain me with that everyday bread. Psalm 34, 8 to 10. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His godly people, for those who fear Him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. He's saying even the strength of a lion that can go and find its prey, can do it themselves, has all the resources that this young lion has to feed himself. Even they go hungry, but those who trust the Lord will never lack anything. This prayer is training ground for us. It's reminding us on a daily basis we need to rely on God for our daily sustenance. Give us this day our daily bread. Second thing it does, this prayer positions us, postures us for godly contentment. Let me read to you Exodus 16, 17 to 18. Exodus 16, 17, 18 says this. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered, some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over. He who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. I find that amazing. It didn't depend. Their sustenance and their sufficiency didn't depend on what they gathered. So some, probably out of anxiety, gathered more. Some, maybe out of busyness, gathered less. Or inability, they gathered less. But everyone, immaterial of how much they gathered, every single one had sufficiency for that day. So it's not about our ability. It's not about our resources. He's training us this one thing. Trust me. I will give you sufficiency for today. But Lord, you don't know what I'm going through. Of course He does. We just read it. He knows our needs. Then why aren't you sorting this out, Lord? I'm giving you your daily bread. Feed on today. Sufficient for today. Trust me. The bread will be sufficient for your lack. Paul in 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 10, he talks about contentment and he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7, after all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation. They are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. So he's inviting everyone to this great wealth. He's saying that godliness with contentment, that's where you have great wealth. Second reason we pray is to keep us in that posture of godly contentment. I have enough for today. I will always have enough for today. We need to be content with our portion for today. Finally, not only does that prayer train us to trust God, not only does this prayer posture us in a godly contentment, but that prayer puts us in that position to live in perfect truth. What am I talking about? Proverbs 30 verse 8. It's the wisdom writer says this. This is his prayer. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. What is he saying? He was concerned with the deception that comes with poverty. He was concerned with the deception that comes with wealth. What's the deception of poverty? If you've been in poverty, you'll know this. The deception of poverty is there are no options. There is no hope. There are no options. And because there are no options, you look at God and somebody tells you about God. You say, God's not going to help me. Nobody is helping me. And so, I must do it myself. I know a little bit about that as I was growing up. And being in that state of poverty and having to beg and ask people for money and the way they speak to you condescendingly, I remember as a young kid growing up, I said to myself, this will never ever happen again. When I have the ability to make wealth, I will make myself rich so that I will never ever again depend on anyone else. I will make myself come out of this poverty. That's what the deception of poverty does. It says, I got no hope. And even though I had a God, I didn't rely on God because God's not helping me. He won't help me. I've got to help myself. There's also a deception in wealth. If in poverty there's no option, in wealth there are multiple options. If I don't do this, I can do that. If this fails, I've got plan C. If plan C fails, there's plan D, E, F, and G. We've got multiple options when you're wealthy. And so, if there are multiple options, we say, God does not need to help me. I can do it myself. And so the great wisdom writer is praying this prayer. Lord, there's a deception in both poverty and wealth. And so I'm praying, don't give me poverty. Because in poverty, the deception is, I will have no options and try and do it myself. In wealth, I will have so many options and I will say, I can do it myself. One says, I must do it myself. The other says, I can do it myself. Both are the deception and the facade that comes from earthly wealth or poverty. And his prayer is, Lord, give me freedom from the facade of earthly resources. Give me freedom from these things that glitter and say, if I only had that, I would be fine. We need to live a life of truth, free from earthly facades. Our bread, the daily bread, give to us today. I want to apply this as I bring this to a close this morning. Whatever our situation is, the bread that you are needing, the bread that you're praying for, it could be in the area of health, it could be in the area of finance, it could be in the area of relationships, it could be in areas that only you know. And none of us know. It could be in the areas of personal breakthrough that you're needing. It could be in the area, I've been praying for this for so many years, Lord. Not 10, not 12, not 15. I've been praying this for many years, Lord, but I haven't seen it come. And maybe it's a reminder to you, say, there's an everyday bread that's set and ready. And one day, that bread will come to its fruition and bring you that breakthrough. But until then, that everyday bread is ready for you today, sufficient for you today, for the grace of God that's sufficient for today, to take you through today. And then tomorrow, there will be bread as well. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a prayer to be trained to trust God and trust God only. Trained to rely on Him on a daily basis for His sustenance. It's a prayer for godly contentment. Lord, I'll be content for the portion for today. It's a prayer to live in perfect truth, unfazed by the glitters that may come or go in life. Live a life true, free from earthly facades. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us today that everyday bread that will sustain us for today, sufficient for today, carry me through for today, and let tomorrow deal with itself.